Today we are continuing the attributes of God. If you're keeping track, this is part five, so this will kind of get us halfway through where we're heading. But we're in the series, but today I want to talk about to you about the God who is close. There's a word we use in the church, and again, I want to get lost in theology. I just want us to understand who he is, and we use this term, our God is an immanent God. It means he's close, that God is immanent. And we are affirming that God is close to us, even though he is great, he's far superior, he's so different from us. But he longs to be very personal with us. In fact, God condescends. I want you to think about this. He lowers himself so he can be close to us. That is not the way it is with most religions. You have to come up a level to get to God. And yet God comes down to us. Now, this is probably the most astounding thing about our Christian faith, because we affirm that God is creator, he is supreme, he's above us, and yet he walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I am his own. I mean, remember the old hymn, and he walks with me. I won't go through it, because all of a sudden I get to the second stanza and we will never stop. But he does that. I want you to hear some biblical affirmations of God's immanence. In the Garden of Eden, in chapters 2 and 3 of Genesis, God is revealed walking and talking directly with Adam and Eve. In Exodus, he reveals his desire for immanence with the people of Israel by saying this in verse 7 of chapter 6, I will claim you. Wow, powerful thought. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I'm the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. God wants to free us from the oppressions that come our way, but we have to know that who he is and that he would come and be close and he would claim you as his child. Moses had a personal encounter with God, and he saw the glory of God, and it's written to us in Exodus 34. In verse 6, it says that the Lord passed by in front of him. That's pretty close. And hear what he proclaimed. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. God was revealing himself in a very personal way to Moses. Moses, of course, comes off the mountain and begins to share the commandments that God had given him. And he was instructing the Israelites, you need to obey God. But Moses then asked this question of them in Deuteronomy 4:7, for what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him? David pens these words in Psalm 139, I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Because King David realized God is intimately close and he's always there with us. Of course, Jesus ends up being the ultimate revelation of God's immanence. John writes it this way in 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Matthew records this thought as the Spirit enables him. He says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what, church? God with us. Even Jesus in his teaching reminds them in John 14, he says, and I will ask the Father and he'll give you another advocate, one who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him, because he lives in you now and later will be in you. Paul, a great apostle, makes this declaration about God's imminence in chapter 17 of Acts. He says, God began by making one person, and from him, all the different people who live everywhere in the world, that's where they came from. God decided exactly when and where they must live. God wanted them to look for him and perhaps search all around for him and what? And find him, though he is not far from any of us. It says, for by his power we live and move and exist. Some of your own poets have said, for we are his children. God, we're so glad that we're your children today. And when I read through these scriptures, may I never lose the awe and the wonder of how close you are. And Lord, help us to understand it as we walk through this, and what it means to us to know this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The imminence of God is important to us for several reasons. First is because God is imminent, we can know him. The Bible tells us that God has revealed himself to us. God, I like this thought, God has written himself into our lives. God wants to write into your story. God has left his fingerprints all over creation. And as we look at the world he created, we can know God is wise and powerful and creative. He's good, and everything he does is orderly. But God also reveals himself in his word. Not just in creation, but his word. He used prophets and people to communicate his message. All throughout the Bible, God is revealing himself, his purpose, and his character to us. He also revealed himself, as I said, through Jesus Christ. God literally became a man and lived on earth for a while, teaching us in words and concepts that we could understand. You see, it would be really hard to understand God if he would have never really showed up. But that's how close he is. He desired to make himself known, and we can know him because he's chosen to make himself known. Secondly, because God is imminent, we can have a relationship with him. Amen? God is not only concerned to just tell us what he's like, but he invites us to talk with him. He invites us to know him. He invites us to enjoy his presence, to dwell with him eternally. Now, how in the world does a finite creature like us have a relationship with a transcendent God? How does a rebellious human heart find acceptance from an incredible, holy, holy, holy God? The answer is only found in Jesus. Paul writes these words to the young pastor Timothy. He says, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man, Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. Notice what this verse teaches us. First, we are told that Jesus is the only way to a relationship with the Father. There is one God, one mediator, and that mediator is Jesus. Now, I know this is not popular in our day of religious tolerance, but we are not about religion, we are about relationship. And you need to understand, we're not saying that Jesus is the only mediator because he's our favorite. We are proclaiming Jesus is the only mediator because he's the only one qualified to be the mediator. Paul tells us why Jesus is that true mediator. It is because Jesus gave his life as a ransom for all. When the perfect Son of God gave his life as a substitute for us, he constructed a way that made it possible for us to know and enjoy this relationship with God. And that is why now we know him as Emmanuel, God with us. Muhammad may have been sincere, but he did not give his life as a payment for our sin, and he did not rise from the grave. The same is true of Buddha and Confucius and Joseph Smith of the Mormons, Charles Russell of the Jehovah's Witness, Mary Baker Eddy of Christian Science, L. Ron Hubbard of Scientology, and a host of all the others. They've made all kinds of claims, but they never pay for the rebellion and the sin of this world. There is only one who has given evidence that he was, amen, who he said he was. There's only one who has given himself as a ransom for our sin. Only one who has risen from the dead. And that one is Jesus Christ alone. But I want you to know this is a relationship that's only available, though, to those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people putting their faith in all kinds of things. But for those who believe in Jesus and his work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, you will find his sacrifice, his payment, and his life is enough. Amen? Because he'll forgive you of all your failures when we put our faith in him. Church, you have to understand, we do not have a religion that we came to worship today. We have a relationship with a Savior who we came to worship today. He's Emmanuel, an immanent God who wants to be close to us. My last thought for this morning, because God is immanent, we can depend on him. God will always be available. He'll always be there when you need him. And we can't always say that of all our friends and our family. In fact, this morning, it's always sad to share with you when someone has passed away, but got news this morning that Jim Relaford has gone home to be with the Lord. Jim's been a part of our body for many, many years, and he knew the Lord. And in fact, today, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto our God forever and ever. And today, when he woke up, he woke up in the very presence of God. Not that it wasn't here, but now he knows fully. And so I want you to minister to the family. But as I was thinking, I would love to have been there. I got the call this morning about 7:40. And my responsibilities today, I couldn't be with them. And sometimes we just can't be there. We just can't be involved. But that'll never happen with the Lord. In fact, I prayed with Larry this morning. Heaven just kind of fell for a moment there as we just prayed on the phone. Why? Because God was there. And church, when we need him, and which, by the way, church is all the time. I think we go to prayer way too often because we think we need him, but you need him all the time. And whenever you need him, he'll be there. The Lord never fails. Nations will crumble. Financial reserves, they're going to disappear. Our health may even fade. Closest friends might even disappoint us. But the Lord never fails. There's an old song we used to sing. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You will not prevail because Jesus never fails. We've got to live this life and this thought process that he is imminent. He never fails. You can depend on him. But I wonder if we've forgotten this, church. And you say, well, why would you ask that? I've never forgotten it. I think we do forget it because we get so anxious about the things going on around us. or our future, or overly concerned or overwhelmed by circumstances in life. But church, you need to know, no matter what the situation might be, you are not alone. God is near. Here's Psalm 38. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 145, the Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. James writes, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Church, it's not about whether God is imminent. He is. It's whether you want to know Him. God is a big God. He's awesome. He's beyond our comprehension, but He'll be as close as you will let Him be. If you have received His offer of salvation, you are born again, and His presence has filled your life. He's your God, and He wants to be now closer to you than ever before. He promises He'll never leave us. Hear Hebrews 13:5. The Amplified says, let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature be free from the love of money, shun greed, be financially ethical, being content with what you have. For He has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. God loves us. He'll be there for us at all times. He is imminent.